Welcome to We Are Libertarians for this whatever, this week. I guess it kind of has been a week, a little week and a half-ish. We did episode 100, now we're reverting back to episode 97, I think, 98, I don't know. Many...
Back to the future.
Oh, there are many OCD people who are very pissed off at me, because we put episode 100, it's technically like episodes 97, but we just put in episode 100 because it was our big spectacular. It was Christmas week. Everybody was here, except people like some
special
people,
guests.
Special guests like Creighton and other people that we'll mention later. But don't worry. It will go in order. As soon as we do 97, 98, 99, I'll make sure it's all okay. Your OCD complexes will be perfectly taken care of. So...
it's impure, Chris. It's impure.
It's impure, right. You know, it reminds me of something my friend Brad Lowry posted on Facebook today. So Brad wrote on Facebook, "I officially apologize to everyone for my libertarian stage. Holy hell, that had to be annoying for you guys." I resemble that remark. I officially hereby apologize to everyone for my libertarianness. So... Oh, boy. Well, we have a special surprise for everybody. A very special surprise. One near and dear to our hearts. Not only is Greg here, which that is not a surprise.
No, that's quite boring, actually.
The second best surprise was that he brought Brozini's pizza. Holy hell, that stuff is good.
Well done, Brozini's.
But the greatest surprise is the return of our lovely Gina Bear.
Dun, dun, dun.
Gina Martinez, how are you doing?
I am well. How are you, Chris?
We've been worried about you. We figured you weren't alive anymore.
No, I'm totally alive.
So there are many, many people.
You stop oversharing on Facebook for 1 month and suddenly the whole world thinks
you join
you're dead.
ISIS for 1 month.
Yeah.
And fight in Syria.
So what is it like in Syria?
That is on a need-to-know basis.
How many Christians did you behead?
This week?
This week, yes. On average. No, Gina, you have, gosh, the last time you were on the podcast was my divorce episode.
Oh, wow.
So I don't want to say you caused that, but
yeah, you better not.
Really was your fault. Chomp.
Correlation and causation
right.
Are two totally different things.
That's what it is.
I invite a beautiful woman.
It's all of my sexual wiles that I was wooing you with.
I bring a beautiful woman into my apartment, and all of a sudden I'm divorced.
Well, Maya's really sorry.
I highly doubt that.
Maya was a threat to my marriage, to my manhood,
to your life in general,
to my life in general, to all my relationships, my jobs. Maya's just a threat to everyone and everything all the time.
Social jihadism.
No, so
it's a real thing.
We've not seen you on the podcast. We recorded that like February 2nd-ish. So it's been almost a year because it's January 15th today as we record this. What the heck have you been up to?
Raising babies. Nothing spectacular. Recently, I'm on the job hunt. So if you're looking, holler.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, I'm just literally keeping the kids from tearing down the house.
How's that going?
You know, so far, so good. You can't complain. House still standing, so doing something right.
Oh, good old Vinny.
Right?
Vinny is the spinning image of Gina.
Yeah.
And is 5 years old. He knows everything. He curses like a sailor.
He is 8 now.
He's 8?
Yes.
Holy crap, he's old.
I'm telling you, he's getting up there. And
oh my
Dante
God.
Is the hellion.
And he's, what, 2?
Yeah. And he is packed full of opinions. And
you named your kids Vinny and Dante?
Yeah.
And your maiden name is Hancock and you're from Edinburgh?
I never told you that I was from Edinburgh, but I do have family there. a great deal, actually. So it was funny when we got married because I'm Gina and the guy that I married is Tony.
Mm-hmm.
And then our first kid was Vinny and then Dante came along and it just turned out amusing to me.
To be a family of...
You trolled your own children with Italian names.
You two are as waspy as they come, too.
I don't know. White American SP? What is this?
White Anglo-Saxon Protestants.
Actually, Tony's family is a combination of, I think, Irish and Native American with Spanish. Pretty predominant.
Yeah, Martinez.
I mean, my last
name's
Martinez. It's not all that WASPy.
Right. you were our female minority outreach expert there for a while.
And
we had to replace you with Maya and Joe.
Do not blame me for that shit. Do not blame me for that.
Then when Maya switched teams, we promoted her.
Right?
Gina, you're out. Maya, you're in.
There you go. She went full blown, didn't she?
Oh, she cut her balls right off.
If I'm not mistaken, posted photos of it.
Oh, yeah.
Congratulations, Maya. Welcome to ladydom.
She got pissed off about a month and a half ago at something somebody was saying on my wall, so she just randomly posted the photos of her...
Her nuts.
Just laying there on the tray for all to see. I lost like 3 Facebook friends over that. I was like, I didn't even do it. I didn't want to see it. I deleted it as soon as I saw it.
Well, they say that you are the average of the 5 people you spend the most time with.
Oh, yikes. God. That would make me you, Maya, several others I can't name. Can't go into for legal reasons.
Need to know, basically.
Oh, God. So, big news. Lots of big news since we last joined together. Miley Cyrus has posed full frontal on Instagram.
That counts as news.
That's the biggest news that I have seen so far. Beyonce may be pregnant.
Excellent.
Very important. Very important.
I don't follow.
Bradley Cooper. Bradley Cooper got his 3rd Oscar nomination.
All right.
Uh huh. Yeah. But Selma did not. Selma. Ooh. Black people got snubbed at the Oscars.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the interview?
No.
I have.
Did you?
Splendid.
Is it good?
It is quite entertaining.
Joe liked it. But Joe likes everything.
Which Joe?
Joe Ruiz.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Your fellow Hispanic on the podcast.
Right, right. I never see the man.
There's only 2 of you.
I never see the man.
We filled quota.
And we...
No, catch.
Nope. I don't want to be the Academy.
Didn't even drop an F-bomb. You're welcome.
I know. You haven't cursed once yet.
I have. I've said shit.
Oh, okay. You have said shit. I'm proud of you.
Don't blame me for that shit.
Gina, your cursing's out of control.
I know. But
so,
I never sought to control it to begin with.
Yeah, that's
so.
The...
I open facetiously. Look it up. I open facetiously because I get so sick and tired of seeing Instagram photos posed as real actual news stories. And there seems to be an epidemic of it in the world of Elite Daily and, you know...
I almost vomited.
News.
Right.
Yeah, I went to yahoo.com the other day and nearly vomited.
Mm-hmm.
And swiftly deleted my Yahoo email account as a result of what I saw listed on the news page.
Mm-hmm.
It was just pitiful.
Yeah.
Yeah, they actually make USA Today look comprehensive. That's tough to do.
You know, and Yahoo has actually made a ton of hires that are, you know, credible news people to run their sections.
Katie Couric.
Katie Couric. They've hired... Matt Bye from the New York Times, a bunch of different prestigious editors for all their arts and entertainment sections. News, not as much, but the arts and entertainment sections, they really are trying hard. Because guess what? That's what people click on. That's what people want. That's they like. So,
I guess I'm just not people.
No. We've been saying that for years, Gina.
You know, it's your place to, like, if you've been detached from the world, like, I'm going to go here and find out what celebrities have been up to. Or like the occasional sensational news story, you know, like the Pope, Dredge linked to a Pope story today.
The Pope came out and said that there are certain limits on free speech.
Yes.
That, you know, if you say bad things about his mother, he's going to punch you.
Mm-hmm.
Sure.
And he loves to give the finger.
The Pope?
Oh, wait, that was Jean-Luc Picard. That was Patrick Stewart. I'm sorry. That was
so close.
Wrong hero of mine. So.
Oh, that was Scientology, not Kevin Cross.
Right. So, no, he said that, it's not proper and right to insult somebody else's religion, and I couldn't disagree with the Pope more. You know, as forward-thinking and progressive as he is about a lot of different things, you can't have liberty and free speech, like, at the cornerstone of religion is the ability to worship and grow and think freely about that religion.
Sure.
Of course,
and
the
you're
Catholic...
assuming that God can't take it.
Right. Yeah, you know, exactly right.
Like, that's the assumption that Jesus and God or Muhammad,
right,
Allah, they are so petty and so human-like, they can't take being made fun
your
of.
Your all-powerful being can't handle a cartoon being drawn about you.
Well, was he saying that as Catholics, you shouldn't...
No,
you
he was
engage
saying
in that kind of negative behavior, or was he saying
blowback.
That law should be passed?
I don't think he
the ability to speak of other people's.
It was an issue of if you are going to say something about someone else, like so, if you are going to mock Jesus or you're going to mock Muhammad, expect to be hit back.
Okay.
Like that's a reasonable expectation.
I mean,
now saying that. If he wasn't the Pope, could be portrayed as those cartoonists and
as
satirists deserve to die.
I see what right. you're saying, as supporting the...
Now, granted, since he talks directly to God, it's not an issue for him.
Well, he's got the Pope to God phone line.
Right.
That they keep in the...
it's like Colbert's Oops Jew hotline.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. Yeah, I mean, I'm not really surprised that the head of the Catholic Church is...
Should we
know,
mourn the passing of Colbert really quick? That's kind of sad. That's
meh.
Happened.
It's the same joke has gone on for 8 years. That's enough. So
fine.
I like
the
Daily
one.
Show. I watch the Daily Show every day. Colbert, it's the same character. It's the same joke over and over. It's that he is a buffoon, and you know, I've got Jersey Shore if I'm gonna watch
there
buffoons.
There were some Colbert moments.
There were occasional times where he would make me laugh, but by and large, he just it was
biblically bitch slapped. I can't think of who it was now. He had on a major Republican.
Lindsey Grahamnesty?
No.
McCain, Palin?
McCain. Yeah, thank you. He had McCain.
Maverick.
He had McCain on and biblically bitch slapped him like the last week or two that he was on the air. So he said something along the lines of saving the best for last. He said to quote the Bible, saving the best for last. And McCain was like, yeah, I don't think that's in the Bible. And then he just dropped fucking verse and line. And it was like, oh, okay, I guess that is in the Bible. It was just quite amusing to watch Stephen Colbert
educate John McCain
on
biblically.
The Bible. Yeah, it tickled me. So we can say what we can about, you know, the 8 year joke going on too long, whatever, but that moment was worth it.
He had his moments, you know.
Ching chong ding dong society for hashtag Asians or whatever. Or whatever.
Or whatever.
Oh, that was when he almost got threatened to be kicked off.
Right.
Oh, wow.
It was quite great.
Yeah, I'm not a huge Colbert fan. I love...
See, I missed all that.
I'm not the, oh, they're liberal jerks and all that kind of... No, I'm not that guy. But it's more of a comedy standpoint. It just doesn't work for me.
Well,
so
it tickled me most of the time. I just liked when he was able to put a point across well.
Right.
And educate young people who wouldn't necessarily be sourcing the news otherwise.
Right.
So, I don't know. It served a purpose. I will mourn his passing.
So, that brings us to our first subject, the bombing in France.
Yes.
So, Gregory, why don't you are our official
facts.
Fact man.
Yeah.
Who knows things about things. And so, why don't you educate us on what happened in France?
So, last Wednesday at 11:30.
Oh, my God. He straight came across with date and time.
No kidding.
Two brothers and a getaway driver, two French-born Algerian descent brothers, stormed the offices of Charlie...
Hebdo.
Is it Hebdo or Hebdo?
Hebdo.
Which I assume is pronounced Hebdo because
The A-H, yeah. It's Hebdo. They stormed the offices. They spoke fluent French. They were asking for the individuals responsible for mocking the Prophet Muhammad through satire. And they were relatively innocuous cartoons. It wasn't until after this attack that they've become inflammatory, like today's cover.
So in retaliation?
Yeah, they were, in my opinion, very, very tame. Like, if you go on Reddit, you know, subreddit, I'm going to hell for this, you talk about bad.
Right.
The Prophet Muhammad could not be displayed more in a worse fashion than
As
I understand, like, the tenets of the religion are that the Prophet Muhammad cannot be displayed.
That is incorrect.
I read that that's not even in the Quran at all.
So, yeah, in the Quran, Muhammad, there's several verses where he says to ignore the ignorant
Sure.
Don't engage them and turn away. And so the hadith, though, in Islam, there's the book, then there's what he supposedly said. The hadith is what he supposedly said and is attributed to him, and scholars like source how close, kind of like, you know, the more times that's been heard, the more likely it was he said it. That's where that appears. That is a relatively new phenomenon since like the 1950s, because Islam went under like a great moderation for a very long time, and then a guy wrote, became a professor, Saeed Kitab, at Cairo University in Egypt, and had two very influential students, Osama bin Laden and Anwar, or al-Zahiri, who's the current leader of al-Qaeda. And they, Kitab was actually a graduate student at Colorado State and was absolutely mortified by seeing his fellow Muslim students and how they acted in America. Writes an extremely influential book, becomes a fundamental professor at Cairo University, has two bright aspiring minds when the United States sets up a military base in Riyadh in Saudi Arabia. Osama bin Laden, who is politically connected and loosely related to the House of Saud in Saudi Arabia, says, if they come, they'll never leave. And here we are today. But so that the revival of Islam since the 1950s and the Muslim Brotherhood, really, because Kitab was one of the founding members, has really driven this radicalization of and fundamentalist nature of Islam. And it's become now to the point where people don't even know, the followers don't know what was said. The followers don't, it doesn't matter, because they have a political and religious elite that tell them what is right and what is wrong. And they're so desperate, they'll believe it.
Okay.
And in very little cases, access to reliable information.
The internet, you know, censored news.
Sure.
Threatened with death for for believing anything other.
They
yeah.
live in a state of constant control as well. So even if they thought otherwise, they wouldn't be able to express that view necessarily.
Now you'd be beheaded if you challenged a
right.
leader.
But on the last Wednesday.
So on last Wednesday,
if I'm not mistaken, there was already security in the building because they were the death threats had happened they'd been ongoing. So there was a security detail, if I'm not mistaken, the French police
mm-hmm.
or some agency.
A Muslim officer.
Really?
Yeah.
Who was the one in the street that was, if you saw the video on
Live Leak. Are you talking about once they left?
That individual was Muslim.
I'm talking about in the building that day when they got there. They were already under secured forces, so they had like essentially government sponsored bodyguards with them. I don't know that at all times, but it definitely while they were at the office that day.
Yeah, in France is what's funny is they have a much more intrusive policy towards spying on their citizens to catch this. So they, you know how we have FISA courts and you have to go and get a warrant and then you get to pull all the records of XYZ because they're suspected of terrorism?
Sure.
In France, it's a rubber stamp and it's a 10-minute process and then they have access to anything they want anywhere.
Right.
And they're much better on the ground. The United States, for whatever reason, hasn't invested heavily in on-the-ground spies as much as France. France is really the standard at it. And they still had... They suspected it. They had a detail. Didn't matter.
Ouch.
These guys had... And they arrested the arms dealer that sold him to a brother today in Belgium. Or actually turned himself in.
Yeah, and if you watch, there was a horrifying video of them executing Ahmed, the Muslim French police officer,
mm-hmm.
Where it is just very clear that these are not nervous schoolboys who are, deranged. These are well-trained paramilitary soldiers, for lack of a better term, who are carrying out a mission. I mean, it is very well executed.
And it was ordered by, so Al-Qaeda in Yemen, also known as Al-Qaeda in the Arab Peninsula, is led by an individual who direct reports to Zawahiri, who's the leader of all of Al-Qaeda. And he's like the general manager. So he's the one in charge of putting like all the practices into place. The oldest brother went to Yemen and actually met with a U.S. citizen who we killed in a drone strike and his U.S. citizen son, Anwar al-Awlaki. And that was one of the primary motivations for this attack, was to avenge the Prophet. And al-Awlaki was the one who originally was feeding the new general manager that's probably going to be the next head of al-Qaeda that lives in Yemen. They were feeding him this info, and he was the one who came up with this idea initially.
Okay, so what info were they feeding? Was the American-born
Oh, he was also went to Colorado State. He was a youngin. Anwar al-Awlaki was a U.S.-born professor, and he may have gone to University of Houston, because I think he's from Texas. But he has been living in Yemen, because in 2011, during all the protests, Yemen's government fell. Now there's a slight, I guess you could call it a state. It's more like a county in Yemen that's under al-Qaeda control. So it's their version of the Islamic State there. And al-Awlaki was like the ideological leader of it. He was the guy that was never in the field, never battling, but he was the smarts behind the operation.
Okay, kind of a mouthpiece.
He fled the United States, did a lot of YouTube videos, a lot of propaganda. We killed him and his son, who had gone to visit his father, who was a U.S. citizen and not a radical Muslim.
Right, and had never been tried. I remember the whole chaos around
violated, that. Yeah, that was when the Rand Paul did his filibuster.
Right.
But that was who the oldest brother met with. Then the guy that replaced him, who's going to be the next head of al-Qaeda when Zawahiri dies, is the one who actually said, here's how you need to do this, here's the money, here's who you need to contact to get the arms. And then there's a really poor neighborhood in France, something park, I forget what it is, but it is where there's a heavy concentration of poverty-stricken Muslims that are very susceptible to radicalization because the financial support system there, even though they have a generous welfare state, for whatever reason, they flock more to the private Muslim population to be relied on financially.
Wow.
And that's where these guys were radicalized and then went to Yemen.
Yeah, who were the two that held up the kosher deli? There, a few days later when the standoffs took place, the two brothers ended up...
That was
up,
on Friday, yeah.
Yeah, and then there was another couple, a male and a female, I thought, that held up a kosher deli and ended up killing three civilians plus one of the gunmen died. I don't know what happened to the woman. I lost track of the story.
She escaped. She had a way out through the intelligence says ISIS. They were more, cuz this is what's fun. A lot of people just consider ISIS and al-Qaeda the same thing.
Right.
They're two rival organizations. So they were affiliated with ISIS, and ISIS was able to smuggle them out of her out of France. He died. He got gunned down. But then also the two brothers that actually went in and shot the cartoonists and satirists, they were killed in that storming of the market as well on Friday. But so they had getaway drivers. It was a pretty highly tactical operation. They'd had training, plenty of funding. Anytime you die, al-Qaeda gives your family between $20,000 and $50,000 and takes care of them financially for life.
Mm-hmm.
So they incentivize this sort of operation. And the other thing is al-Qaeda is really getting its butt kicked by the Islamic State, and so they really needed to make a splash, if you will. But so al-Qaeda in Yemen, or in the Arab Peninsula ACAP, was responsible for USS Cole attack,
right?
Responsible for the beheading of Paul Johnson, the aerospace worker in Yemen. They are not trying to set up a state per se. They don't want to expand, whereas ISIS wants to, you know, rebuild the caliphate from forever ago. And so it's really you're seeing competition play a role in the level of outbreak.
Oh, wow.
And the types of terrorist acts.
Right.
That's discouraging.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yemen, for those of you geographically challenged, is south of Saudi Arabia.
It's right. Yeah. It's a border state.
Right.
Well, former state.
Yeah. It's not real. I mean, it's just kind of.
No government.
Yeah.
It fell.
It's the Wild West of Islamic terrorists.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, sort of what Western Africa or Eastern Africa has become as well. Hoko Haram and
That was the thing, is so the getting a magazine getting stormed.
Yeah.
And 12 people dying, no doubt, an atrocity, especially over something like free speech.
Yeah, 3 days later in a Western civilized city. I mean, it's horrifying, it's awful. We're not trying to belittle it, but Hoko Haram, am I saying that right?
Boko Haram,
I'm sorry. Boko Haram is going through and obliterating entire towns, and they just can't get to these villages to clean up the carnage.
2,000 people.
2,000 people. They think maybe 3,000 women have been enslaved for sex slavery. I mean, it's just...
disgusting.
Horrifying. satellite imagery. I think we tweeted it out at We Are Libertarians. The satellite imagery of the carnage that they're wreaking in Nigeria. So,
and this is all a result of, I mean, I don't want to blame us. I mean, but so we killed Osama bin Laden. Their strategies have been changing. So they can't have communications and keep everybody on the same page. It's kind of like the difference between like Apple and Android. So Android just opens themselves up. Yes, you're going to be in the Android marketplace. Here, develop whatever you want. It's open source and it's freely available. There's no vetting process. Apple meets strict. You submit your app. You have to meet strict guidelines. It's, everything's has to be in order. That's the way ISIS is. They're a state. They want to govern. They want to be seen as a state actor in the world. Al-Qaeda, because they had to change tactics, has turned to a franchise model. So they go around and they say, oh, yes, you can be affiliated with Al-Qaeda. You're Al-Qaeda in, if you're Boko Haram, in Nigeria. Al-Sham in Ethiopia or Somalia, where we've had incredible problems. And so they've turned to a franchise model. And basically, it's the difference between like McDonald's and having an owned corporate owned store and McDonald's having an unruly franchisee that decides to just do whatever he wants.
Really, it's the same warlordism that we saw 40 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it just now has a religious ideology behind it as opposed to just, you know, it's the same craven psychopaths. They just now have a religion behind them with more resources and money and a global network, which isn't that encouraging. You know, so
especially from our supposedly our closest ally, Saudi Arabia.
Right.
Which is where they get probably 50 to 60% of their funds.
Right.
Who's rich because we buy their oil.
So one of the distressing things is the atrocities in Nigeria are so far and above what happened in France. It's genocide.
Wow.
It is genocide, and it's not. It's mentioned, but it's certainly not the top story on every newscast.
Right.
Why?
Level of civilization. France is a first world country, global leader, member of NATO, top flight. You know, I mean, at the end of the day, compared to Nigeria, way better social systems, way better government structure, or more powerful government structure. Nigeria's at best a second world country. They have the most potential, but it's still a tribal mindset as opposed to I'm a Nigerian citizen. It's I'm a member of...
Dare I use the word neo-colonialism?
Absolutely.
But isn't that sort of that attitude where, oh, well, it's, listen, I'm sorry what's happening to Ubuntu and whatever is going on over there. I don't understand Africa. I don't. I mean, there is
I don't think Nigeria has much of a tribal mentality.
Well, they have a horrible Muslim Christian problem.
I see.
But what I'm saying,
not necessarily. Sorry, not like Hutsu.
Right. Yeah. I was like, I don't know.
No. I meant Muslim Christian is they don't look at themselves as Nigerians first. They are very first and foremost religiously identified.
But I do really feel. I really think that there is some racial component to it.
Desensitization. This has been going on.
That's just Africa.
It's always been going on.
That's how it is. That's, you know, I mean, and I do think that it is easier for us to have context because we all study world history through the frame of Western civilization in high school. So we understand where Paris is and what Paris is. Nobody knows the difference between Nigeria or Niger, you know, they don't know where those countries are at in Africa. I mean, so it's, I think it's a part of, but that being said, it doesn't make the loss of humanity any less. I mean, it's just
less significant.
Yeah. Like that's the part that I struggle with. Why that's not why it isn't a front page story, the front burner story. And, you know, the same level of outrage applied to that where world leaders, how about some world leaders fly to Nigeria and march with the government there? I mean, it is just seen as an African problem. And so, you know, those lives aren't as valuable. Agree with me or disagree with me?
Yuck.
I agree, but that's consumer driven. Because like Joseph Kony got a lot of clicks, a lot of eyeballs, social media campaign.
Well, that was also driven by the activists who were...
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it just depends.
Promoting it.
Right.
Yeah. But Dredge, the same day, had both listed.
Yeah.
The Paris attacks had a bit more clicks.
Mm-hmm. I'm not saying...
It's profit-driven.
I'm not saying
core.
Necessarily it's just
yeah, I don't even know the details behind the attacks in Nigeria.
Oh.
So, like, you have, like, a minute-by-minute replay of what went down at Charlie Hebdo. And most of us have seen, at least, you know, the brief news reports on what happened that in that event. I have no idea.
What does a Nigerian face look like? What are the two towns, what are the two cities that have been destroyed by Boko Haram? And that's sort of my point. It's not necessarily about Drudge or AP or Yahoo or CNN or the news outlets. It's why don't we want to consume that information?
Why is it not as relevant to us or,
right.
you know, avoid, you know, for whatever reason, we're just not as interested
if,
in it.
Listen, if or it bleeds, if it bleeds,
for political purposes.
If it bleeds, it leads.
Mm-hmm.
And there's way more blood in Nigeria than there is in France. So what is it about us that doesn't want to understand why this would happen?
Or why would they have why would there be a benefit in suppressing that information? Like where did...
Again, I don't think it's Boko suppressing. Boko Haram is not... It's not.
Where
being...
did Boko Haram get their weapons? Is this another situation where we're going to find out that we armed these individuals?
No, they got theirs because they overthrew local governments and took control. Because Nigeria is oil rich. Mm-hmm. And they did basically what ISIS did in northern Iraq. And they got control of the refineries. Now they're self-financing. Then they stole, 200 girls? And then offered them up for slavery. This is when Michelle Obama and Condi Rice started doing that social media campaign to get the girls back.
All right, so this is the same area where
exact
they
same
were
organization.
Kidnapped. Oh wow,
yeah.
And they are justified because this is one of those Quran verses where it is actually in there. It's not so much that you can have a sex slave. It's a matter of interpretation of certain words. But I was researching that verse last night and. It's a 50-50 split on whether if you are a follower and it's not that Muhammad promoted it, but he definitely said that you're not outside the realm of, or like it's not apostasy to do it.
So
they justify it. It's like ISIS too. They kidnap European women, XYZ, and then sell them in the sex trade.
American slavery was justified on the backs of the Old Testament.
Exactly.
And the New Testament.
You're exactly right.
You know, and yes. So any biblical, and this is the other, but, you know, not just the fact that most Americans will consume 24/7 what's happening in France, but don't give a shit about what's happening in Nigeria. That ticks me off. The other,
no, they're like, I saw Blood Diamond, I get it.
Right. Yeah, that's just, it's all the Congo. You know, it's just one big country. Is it a country, a continent? What is this Africa thing? I just know it's all full of black people. They all, you know, like, wow. I really feel like that is the attitude that most Americans have towards.
I have encountered people who think
continent.
Of Africa as a country as opposed
right.
to a continent. And I do think there's a level of distance that leads to a great deal of ignorance, especially we're in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. We were all raised in Indiana public schools. It's not exactly as though we had an in-depth, right? It's not exactly as though we had an in-depth. You know, session on each country within Africa and all of the historical turmoil that,
right.
or even just the historical events that have led to the situations that they are each facing now. You know, but at the same time, when you meet a person from Nigeria, it's almost as though at times they. Or at least in my recent experience, I met a young man from Nigeria who was kind of condescending and arrogant in that when he was a self-professed history buff,
mm-hmm.
and as we got to discussing the history of his native country, he was like, oh, and do you think a war happened? And it was like, who the fuck do you think you're talking to, and who the fuck do you think I am? Like, what level of ignorance do you think that you're dealing with?
Right.
So, and that's certainly not a prevalent attitude, I'm certain. I'm certain that had to do with...
Probably just that individual, yeah.
Yeah, that individual and his perception of me and what he thought the conversation he thought he was entering into. But it was also the last conversation that I had with that individual as well.
Right, because he's so used to, he is conditioned to talking to Americans about his country and his continent's history and getting fed back. You know, it's just like, assuming that everybody in the Midwest is the same if you lived on the East Coast. You know, there is a little bit of regional pride and just like, you know, just assuming that everybody in the flyover states is, you know, a redneck bumpkin living in a white, you know, living in a trailer park and is white trash. Maya and I have talked a lot about it. We've talked a lot about it on this podcast. Labels are helpful because labels help us quickly. It gives a shorthand to quickly categorize and identify people. But at the same time, it also becomes destructive when we try to force every individual into those labels, into those stereotypes, into those categories. And that's part of the danger of nationalism, is that every American must march lockstep with the American government because we are Americans. And sure, even if the American government is doing evil, we must follow evil because we need to be good patriots.
Sure.
That's wrong. We need to think as individuals.
And generalizations do become detrimental in situations such as this, where we're discussing 12 people in Paris getting far more attention, coverage, and outcry than how many thousands?
2,000, and the visual image that I saw was a woman in labor that was killed. That was the image I saw.
A total lack of humanity.
Sure.
Very, very evil people. And we're not saying that, we're not trying to draw a comparison. I mean, that is part of the struggle of Western culture at this point, is you have helped create this evil. And how do you deal with it? Because I know as a libertarian, I believe in the concept of blowback, that by going in and trying to start a war and fight a war against the Middle East and going into Yemen and putting boots on the ground or even drone strikes in Yemen, by and large, cause blowback. It emboldens Al-Qaeda and ISIS and that radical ideology. It recruits for them. So how do you fight that? Because Americans, for so long, our first instinct is violence. Violence has been done to us, so violence must be done back. And so we don't really have...
We're also exposed to a great deal of violence.
Sure.
Our media, our pop culture. I mean, if you're...
From the time you're a child...
Over the age of 19, you've seen all sorts of gruesome images and
You
know, video games, movies... Hell, Die Hard, you know? It's like every man's essential, like, basic fantasy involves some sort of...
Bruce Willis.
Right.
And overthrowing supporting the government from overthrow.
From the time you're a child and you're conscious, you know, your parent is in your face looking like they're about to beat the shit out of you. You know? I mean, it's being around parents, and obviously I'm not a parent, but I do have several close, you know, family members and that are children, and you occasionally are just like, I can't take, know. We talked about that on the 100th episode with Joe and Mickey Ruiz, how they're just like, I've had enough, I can't take it, I want to put you in the corner, I want to put you in time, I've had it, you know, and you blow your stack, and it's like, even from that, from childhood, we are taught, you know, it just builds and builds, and at some point you explode, and there's not really...
But that's humanity more than Americans,
sure.
I think.
But part of what we in Western culture have slid backwards, and instead of trying to do what we did to get to this point where we fought against our basic humanity, our fight against our urges... conquer our urges to become a more cultured society, I feel like in many ways American culture and Western society as a whole is sliding backwards and is reveling in our base urges, reveling and not fighting hard enough to fight off our base instincts. I'm not saying that if you get mad at your children, you're a bad person. I don't want that to be misunderstood, but I'm saying that is a human urge.
I think if you don't
urge.
Ever get mad at your children, you're doing them a disservice.
Right, you're probably
because
disconnected.
Because the rest of the world is going to get angry at your children.
Right, because your frontal lobe is
disconnected. You're not going to be president.
Right.
Depending on their level of behavior, you know what I'm saying?
I totally agree. I think it was like, who was it? Oh, New York? That Senator Daniel Patrick Moynihan, he released a really controversial report saying that essentially the reason that what's happened to the African-American community in the United States is that the federal government, and this is a Democrat, has replaced the man's need to be in the nuclear family, and that the best solution for African American poverty, this is why it was so controversial, is a disciplined, loving, structured environment and family unit. That was the end of his political career, but this is also probably the greatest public policy mind in all of Democrat politics ever.
So why did it end his career?
Because you can't say that as a white person.
Okay, so...
The enlightened elite from New York that was former labor secretary can't tell the African-American community that had the exact same marriage rates in Harlem in 1933 and then a total split in outcome. In employment, marriage rates, and then the only thing that changed, only variant he was able to notice was the marriage rates and the presence of the father.
Okay, so was his statement inflammatory? What was it that he said?
The report was. The Moynihan report was, so the report was arguably like one of the most inflammatory reports in public policy circles it's ever, maybe the most.
Was it recent?
Because it's saying, assuming that the structure of the white family unit is the correct family unit for success within an already racist structure of our society.
I guess from my perspective, that's not necessarily a white family unit. It's just a family unit.
Oh, no, but he was the messenger.
Right.
Okay.
I mean, an old white guy with white hair.
Yeah, an old white guy with
background,
white hair,
went to Ivy League schools.
I understand all of that, but what I'm saying is the family model that you just described is not one that I associate with being of European heritage or having white skin. I don't think of, I mean, in this day and age, just as many white people are divorced or living in single parent homes as African Americans, for sure.
No doubt. But at that era, civil rights era.
Oh, was it in the 50s?
Yeah, 50s, 60s, civil rights era.
That, I mean, there are time all and kinds place, of you know? Reasons why a person's political camp career comes to an end. And a lot
they
of
become
it
a libertarian.
Right. A lot of it has more to do with outside factors and intimidation. It could be, if you stand up and say anything, somebody's going to find a reason to intimidate you in the event that they want what you have accrued. Period. So if he had accrued a decent amount of followers, someone is going to come out of the woodwork and try to seize those followers or those supporters, however you want to phrase that.
Yeah, it was just seen as a betrayal of the party apparatus. Because, you know, the civil rights movement, it's like that movie Selma right now. You see,
I haven't seen it.
If you watch
it
that, you'll see a portrayal of Lyndon B. Johnson essentially telling Martin Luther King Jr. to go out and get some white people to attack some black people so we can attract some support.
No joke.
Now, there's debate over whether that's true or not, but if anyone knows anything about LBJ, that's true.
That sounds like a real awful, horrible thing for a terrible human being to say, so it must be true about LBJ. Because if you've read the Robert Carroll books, you realize he's awful.
He is the guy that Frank Underwood from House of Cards is based on.
Right.
I haven't seen House of Cards.
Yeah, you would love that.
I haven't seen House of Cards, Game of Thrones, Scandal, none of it. I've avoided all of those things that would probably be right up my alley.
We are now 44 minutes into this podcast.
Excellent.
Creighton has just responded to yesterday's, hey, we're having a podcast, and he says, my bad, I forgot.
Oops.
So, Creighton, we missed you.
Say hi to Whitney for us.
Yeah. Oh, so, you know, we started way back in Paris and wandered over to Nigeria, and now we're back in
1950s Harlem. Yeah.
It's like Gina's on the show again.
But there's a, but
I
think
nothing to do with it.
There's a single trend that's what's been driving me crazy about all the media coverage. Everyone assumes this is ideologically driven, and to an extent it all is, right? So like, mm-hmm. how do you do anything about this? Well, it all starts with ideas.
Do with
Islam had undergone an enormous moderation. If you look at pictures of Afghanistan, Iraq, Iran prior to the revolutions, it's women in suits,
right?
Women in schools,
blue jeans.
The great moderation. All of a sudden, one guy writes a book, becomes a member of influence, recruits two true believers that are charismatic,
that have money,
and have an enemy. All of a sudden, because realistically, if the United States doesn't build a military base in Saudi Arabia and we attack Saddam for going into Kuwait,
right,
to beat him back, and then we actually leave instead of staying. Osama bin Laden is a playboy prince that spends his weekends in Bahrain gambling away billions of dollars.
The other part is Israel and Palestine, and that gave a flashpoint in the 50s and 60s and 70s for people to rally around. The wars, you know, the war in 69, I mean, that gave... nothing spreads hateful ideologies and totalitarianism like a war. You know, people want to, World War II, if it hadn't happened, it wouldn't have built the great economic engine that was the United States. It's like, well, war is not the great creator. War is the great destroyer. It destroys ideologies. It destroys families. It destroys lives. It destroys economies. It destroys property. It destroys literally everything that is good on the earth.
And in some cases, it literally overturns regimes and or
and it, the winners bodies. To the winners go the spoils, and they get to carve up whatever they want, which is what happened at the end of World War II. They carved up the dead Ottoman Empire and built these colonial states.
Sykes-Picot, which is what you'll see any group of Muslims in the Middle East protesting against.
Which is
what? It was a treaty that essentially took a map to all of Saudi Arabia, or all of the Middle East and the Northern Horn of Africa, and said, you get this, you get that, and they just started drawing lines. Hence, you have Shia Sunni populations that want to kill each other,
right?
And within their own state, because yeah, it's no, not a nationalistic
a of,
feeling.
There's a lot of really asinine borders that are drawn between, you know, different religious groups, different for whatever different affiliated peoples. Like, if I'm not mistaken, I was watching a special that had to do with the Indian Pakistani. I don't know.
Was it Kashmir? Was it Anthony Bourdain and Punjab?
May have been.
Yeah, it was Anthony Bourdain. I just watched the same one over Christmas break.
Would the gentleman in the field who would go to work in one country and essentially get off in another as he worked through the farmland?
And they had the wacky ceremonies and they
looked at the border.
Right, and so this is the same culture. It's the Punjabi culture. It's in the same area. There are relatives on each side. They can't visit each other because the two countries are...
Because some British guy back in the colonial period,
right,
like, willy-nilly drew the border.
One guy had 30 days to draw up Pakistan because he wanted to give a country. You know, there was no thought put towards any of this. And it's just as if the Chinese won the rights to the United States. The Chinese don't know anything about American culture and vice versa. They're strangers to our land. They're in some ways offensive to our sensibilities and vice versa. And yet they come in here and they draw borders, and then they draw a line down the middle of, you know, they split Indianapolis in half, you know, not taking into account that we're all Colts fans,
right?
You know, and then it is the same stupidity. It is one culture drawing the boundaries and splitting up. Just that is the folly of World War II, and we have sown Western culture has sown all of the seeds of this and has never learned its lesson. It's just become increasingly militaristic towards the Middle Eastern cultures.
We replaced Nazism as the biggest threat to the Jews with radical or Islamic fundamentalism.
Right.
It just took a long time to marinate and spring about.
Right.
I mean, we didn't necessarily create Islamic fundamentalism.
Well, you and
we absolutely did when we built a military base in Riyadh. That's Osama bin Laden, his entire reason for raising an army in Ethiopia and then Somalia and then in Afghanistan was because
Osama bin Laden's response. Like, it's his perception and his response. It's not as though you are stating that the United States government went in.
No, we were asked by the House of Saud.
Yeah.
And created
We built a military base.
We helped
so we could prop them up.
Okay.
Through our intervention.
Because on paper, they're no different than ISIS. Saudi Arabia beheads people. They whip people. There is no free speech. There's no civil liberty. It is, without a doubt, a larger, maybe a wealthier ISIS, Islamic State. Yet they're our ally because we needed a consistent flow of oil. So we played God, said, this family, you're going to be rich. You're going to make sure that we're strategic partners forever, and we're going to have unparalleled growth by access to oil.
You know how I just filled up my entire tank for $20?
Right. Saudi Arabia.
That's because Saudi Arabia is head of OPEC and lowered rates.
Because they want us to quit drilling for oil.
So because we're searching for alternative oil sources.
We're a competitor. And right. We are on pace to outproduce them even in raw crude. Because like they can't even refine it well themselves, so they have our companies do it. But United States, because of shale oil production, fracking, we're able to change the market forever. Because if we don't need them, they're going to open up the floodgates, because they have to have a $79 per gallon or per barrel price target in order to fund government operations. Right now, they're below that.
Why do you think Saudi Arabia has had very little fluctuation in their society in the middle of the Arab Spring? It's because they have large
subsidies
given to their population that keeps their population under control. Because their population's getting a check each month, just like Alaskans under Sarah Palin. Maybe we should put Sarah Palin in charge. Might get the same results. But
that would go over well.
Right. Saudi Arabians looked around and said, all right, we could give up the subsidies for these nutballs, or we could just keep the money and let these guys continue to have power. And that's what they. There are definitely revolutions brewing in Saudi Arabia, but they are also swiftly dealt with and murdered.
Yeah.
And they're building the Great Wall of Saudi Arabia on their northern border against Iraq, because
really?
That's where ISIS is based. It's a stronghold. And so they just announced plans. It's going to be essentially a 600-foot deep cement moat with drawbridges and the highest level of security
Sounds
you've
like
ever
Berlin
seen.
Berlin on steroids?
Yep.
I have not heard that.
It's brand new. They just released plans yesterday.
Wow.
They're really worried about the northern border, and they're considering doing it against Yemen as well. On the southern border.
Wow.
Because there's nothing ISIS, not Al-Qaeda, there's nothing ISIS wants more than to be in control of the two holiest sites in all of Islam. It's how you secure your divine right.
And if you are, although you're ruthless and barbaric, you are civilized, you don't want the uncivilized, ruthless barbarian to come in and take over your holy sites.
Who will destroy Mecca because it is a false idol.
Right.
It's a sacred ground for Muhammad, not Allah. So they would destroy it.
You know, that is.
So how could a follower of Islam not be a supporter of Muhammad?
You can be. You just can't worship him like a false idol. So Islam isn't allowed to have, like, shrines.
So there are Christians who don't believe in wearing a cross.
So he's a prophet that is not. So like, Jesus is a prophet.
He's a prophet,
too. But he's also God incarnate, essentially.
Jesus is a prophet for Islam as well.
Right.
Yeah.
So Christians believe that Jesus is God.
Mm-hmm.
But like Islam doesn't believe
like Moses,
Muhammad.
It's like worshiping Moses.
Okay, so and pardon my ignorance here.
No, you're fine.
I truly always assumed that there was a belief that the Prophet Muhammad was some embodiment of Allah.
No. Allah just revealed what, because Islam doesn't believe that Christianity and its central tenets and early stories are wrong. They have the exact same ones in the Bible.
Right.
They just believe that God had a second. His understanding of what he wanted had changed, so he revealed himself to Muhammad. Muhammad went out into the wilderness, just like Jesus, had some grand insight, communication, comes back, here's how you should live.
He is the greatest prophet, but he is not divine.
No, whereas Jesus
is half man, half God.
In this house, he is divine, Greg. You take your atheist crap and get out.
Well, I'm not atheist. I was going to say, like, he has the same creation story as Spangle. I've been working on a Spangle demigod creation story for many years.
I am wearing a shirt that says I'm the leader.
Dear leader.
So, yeah, so it is, you know, that is...
That's a decent segue, dear leader. Let's go into...
the primaries?
No, I was going to go into the interview, the movie.
Well, oh, yes.
Let me say this. I mean, the thought that they're building a wall that big...
That
is something that is thousands of years from now that will stand the test of time. I mean, that is mind-blowing if you look at it through the frame of history, that they're going to build something that... Why do they build this? It's like the Great Wall of China.
Right.
Everybody knows what the Great Wall of China is, but nobody really knows why there's a Wall of China, and it was to keep the barbarians out.
Yeah, I was going to say, wasn't it specifically like the Huns?
Attila.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Who's 76% of the world today.
I thought
is
it was Genghis.
That was Genghis Khan, I'm sorry. Not Attila. Attila the Hun sacked Rome.
Yeah. It was the Mongols.
I
wanted to keep those.
The Huns,
Mongolians.
All right.
So... Yes. Yeah, so
Thank you for making that mistake with me, Greg, so I feel slightly less ignorant.
Oh, you're fine.
We all make mistakes, Gina.
Whatever.
This podcast could even be considered a mistake on certain levels.
Believe that.
This episode or the totality?
Totality.
Okay, that's what I was going to say. Other big news items. So, you know, we didn't really... So let's talk about the freedom of speech in the Charlie Hebdo.
That was the main focus.
Because, gosh darn it, you know, it is so cute when world leaders get together and they rally around a single point and they stand in unity for free speech. And then you look at the photograph and you realize that each and every one of these specific douchebags have all passed legislation to increase spying and limit free speech in their countries. And you just feel like politicians these days just aren't telling you the truth. Like, maybe these politicians just aren't exactly who they say they're supposed to be. I'm just losing faith, Greg and Gina. You know, it's like everybody wanted him to go Obama to go march in the parade for free speech in memoriam of Charlie Hebdo and all that they stood for. And then you, like, think about Edward Snowden and the NSA. And then 2 days later, David Cameron, chief douchebag of Britain, is passing laws that might ban Snapchat and Instagram in England. It's like, don't sit here and march in honor of what Charlie Hebdo stood for.
Hebdo.
And then go, listen, I'm American, okay? I don't even eat French fries, all right? I eat freedom fries.
Gross.
You take your French toast and get out.
And surrender.
Yeah. I only eat Belgian waffles because I don't know where Belgium is.
That wasn't a bad bush.
I was thinking that was
that was a
thing.
Really that was a close W.
Thank you very much.
He just went from being dear leader to the decider.
So I just, you know, I just felt like it's hollow, and I really don't care that Barack Obama went or didn't go, or, you know, and I give Obama a pass because him walking out in the open air in a country that just had a terrorist attack earlier that week, the security protocols for the Secret Service and the Americans
five of whom were released
down.
Or
right.
I think one resigned.
Yeah,
and four were
they were all forced out,
relieved.
So I'm sorry, but Obama's going to completely change the whole event by his presence because of security for him.
It's going to go from a Charlie Hebdo remembrance moment to a, hey, there's President Obama moment.
Right. And so sometimes your presence is better, you know, like just not being president would be good. That'd be a good start. But
not racist. All of us share that
so
sentiment.
You can get out.
Right. Well, no, I just... I have encountered individuals who are like, not my president. And it's
right.
Like, excuse me, which country do you live in, bitch? Yes, as a matter of fact, he is, has been, and will be until the next election. He's
right.
Two terms, you're president.
Until the Supreme Court decides that governors outrank presidents, that's your president.
Yeah. So
for the next couple weeks.
Yeah.
Is that what you're getting
maybe.
At?
So where do you guys stand on, you know, we talked a little bit about the Pope. Did we talk about that on air?
Yeah, I think so.
I don't remember. We talk a lot.
Yeah,
we ate a lot of pizza.
Pope.
For like an hour we talked before we actually started doing this.
And I'm pretty sure we discussed the Pope.
Okay, but the Pope, you know, came out and said that there's limits on free speech. Expect, you know, to be attacked if you're going to be a jerk about what you say.
Now, is that what he said, expect to be attacked, or that an attack is... I guess, like, understand.
Don't be surprised. You know, it's not nice to insult other religions. Something along those lines.
If you attack my faith, expect an attack back.
You insult my mother, I will punch you in the face. Which is a pretty cool thing for a pope to say. Like, that ranks...
A little bit different than turn the other cheek, but not bad.
Right, yeah. So, now, he was joking, in all fairness. This is a funny
but
pope.
But, I mean, that's a huge...
This pope could be on Letterman
but like,
in the third
okay,
slot.
Okay, so, like... The reference that I made earlier to you're doing your children a disservice if you allow them to get away with things without showing anger that you know the rest of the world will express anger for. I can see the Pope legitimately making that claim. Hey, people, if you do not want to experience the backlash as a result of your actions and words and expression, be mindful of what you express. And I guess at its core, that's essentially what he's saying. Now,
right.
Do I in any way, shape, or form condone the actions of the people who carried out this attack? Hell no. I am all about freedom of expression and what have you. But at the same time, if it were me and someone, I can't say that I would respond violently to an art form, but there are certain instances where I could see myself or others.
I want to kill some people when I hear Justin Bieber sing.
Hey, I'm not arguing that.
No, I think what the Pope was saying is speak to others in love, and sure. If you're being provocative to anticipate
what you have provoked.
You are purposely shoving, you have a cobra in your face and you're jingling your keys in it. Maybe not a good idea. I think, and instead, shouldn't you try and bring peace and harmony to the world, which is a very Pope-like thing to say.
Absolutely.
So that was probably the spirit of what he meant, the spirit in which it was intended. Freedom of speech and expression in the age of the radical Islamist. I know you have several memes that you posted in the chat that you would love to put on the Weird Libertarians wall from Reddit that unfortunately...
We would all have our necks slit right now.
Fecal matter.
She would like to state for the record that she abstains from anything that either of these two have ever posted on any social media.
Well, this is the private chat.
It's private,
and generally, fecal matter is a no-go on the We Are Libertarians Facebook page, especially in this case and in this use.
Oh, wow.
Bacon should not be put there, Greg.
Well, I wanted to drop, bacon-wrapped cruise missiles on most of the Middle East for the last week. But
that sounds kosher.
Actually, not most of the Middle East, sorry. A specific northwestern part of Iraq and Syria.
Mm.
And that's the only way. And honestly, that won't do any good. Because
such inflammatory speech.
Oh, it absolutely is.
I know.
Because
it goes both ways.
Exactly,
because
they call us godless atheists,
Oh, and beyond that, so, I don't know. Like, one of the few conversations that I've had with a person from this particular region involved, he's just heavily racist to a point that it kind of surprised me how heavily racist he was. And yeah, it was the same kind of notion of, I would like to have all the people of that particular subset of however you want to call that,
mm-hmm,
rounded up into one area and eliminated.
Yeah.
And it was just horrifying to me that, this genocidal mindset exists.
For me, it's not that. It has nothing to do with Islam or Muslim, because I don't see it like that. It's, if you think that Spengdadi is...
Spengdadi?
I just had a brain fart.
That was hilarious.
No, Al-Baghdadi is...
You just turned me...
Oh, Spengdadi!
You're not on Facebook, so you don't even know what's going on.
That was
on
a birthday picture of him.
You don't even know what's happening on my Facebook
wall. It's fact.
He's
a celebrity. I did give up Facebook.
I taught him Photoshop, and I've regretted
you
it.
You did not since. Teach me Photoshop.
Okay, so whom were you actually referencing?
Al-Baghdadi, the leader of ISIS, the Islamic State, the caliphate, or the caliph of the caliphate. But he's not a religiously driven person. This has nothing to do with religion, in my opinion. Just as with Hitler.
Oh my. I'm sorry, they are scrolling for me some of the things that have been on Facebook recently. Oh, wow. I have no words. Okay, so go ahead. So just as you're comparing Al-Baghdadi to Hitler?
No, I'm saying any ideological movement, it would be a mistake to think that it's that they're true believers at the top. To think that Hitler was purely driven because he wanted to eliminate Jews across the face of the entire earth is not true. For Baghdadi, this has nothing to do with him absolutely trying to create the end of the world in the right situations so that the Mahdi comes back in Syria. Yeah, there it is.
If you're not Facebook friends with me... Or just go to the Weird Libertarians Facebook page. I'm sorry to totally derail every thought Greg just had, but you have to go to the Weird Libertarians page and see what he's doing to me. It's hilarious.
Getting you dates.
Yeah. I'm sure. You're really
turning
helping.
You into an internet celebrity.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it has to do with power. So the elites of any movement.
Sure.
It's about the acquisition of power, and then they in control. They're power-hungry individuals. First, they will follow whatever ideology.
Some people really are ideological to the extent, and they're really not concerned about the power.
Those people can't lead it, because you have to make sacrifices to lead, to build anything. So
not necessarily.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay.
You can't, for instance.
So take for example, an organization that is loosely affiliated. Okay, here's an example. Let's say Anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
There probably is a structure of leadership.
But absolutely.
Like, I can't tell you who the leader of Anonymous is because they are anonymous.
Mm-hmm.
And in that situation, there is a quest for power, I would say, but not necessarily recognition.
They don't want recognition, but they want.
I mean,
they want to be
levels.
A powerful opposite
we
reaction
know they
to the government.
If they didn't want some recognition.
Sure, because if they were true believers, this would all go down in the shadows, and
right.
You'd never know.
And there would be no mention of a group named Anonymous.
Because if they were truly committed, having Twitter accounts, having social media, you know, helping. Heck, in this most recent, what did I tell you that they helped in Maryland? What was that? Oh, when CENTCOM's Twitter account was hacked.
Yeah.
So the Pentagon and the military's social media accounts were hacked. Anonymous discovered their IP address, found the guy, because then they tried to hack Anonymous. They did.
They
and
hacked
it was,
Anonymous?
Yep, because it's the cyber Islamic State. They hacked Anonymous, and then because they did that, Anonymous allowed it, because then they were able to trace where the person actually lived in Maryland.
Oh, no shit.
But, like, the point is, like, so you can be, the cost.
So wait, are you telling me that the ISIS?
ISIS cyber, yeah.
The ISIS cyber operative, let's mm-hmm. say, was in Maryland?
The cyber Islamic State, yeah, was in Maryland.
Okay.
Because that's been their plan forever, is infiltrate from the inside. So, like, at Fort Hood, the shooting.
Right.
To have members within the United States military, within government apparatus.
Are you talking about ISIS or Anonymous?
ISIS.
Okay, just making sure.
Anonymous helped the government.
Okay, I just
doing
want a clarification on what it was that you were claiming in this particular instance.
Yeah, like in this situation, Anonymous exists as a force against the government, against the monopoly of the state, against wrongs committed to individuals.
They're not completely anarchists. I mean, it's not fair to say that they are against the government necessarily.
No, they're against the monopoly
control.
On power.
Yeah.
In hiding things.
Sure.
And yet they assist the military, who they are arguably the most critical of, in finding
but
this guy's
IP. But
there
are situations in which the military are useful, and I think Anonymous recognizes that.
Mm-hmm.
So, for example, we were talking earlier about some bearded anarcho-capitalists that should not be mentioned. and we were discussing how a state of anarchy doesn't really exist within our lifetime at this moment.
Yeah.
And he had made the argument that we essentially exist within an anarchist reality now.
And right in this moment.
And I think that a lot of young people have the impression that Anonymous is an anarchist type of movement. Would you agree or disagree?
I think they're branded that way.
Sure.
But and they really are. But, you know, they're really just trying to be... They're trying
a
to
tool, a useful tool to what do I want to say to counterbalance,
counterpunch, yeah, the government
to counterbalance overreaches of control.
Mm-hmm. They don't trust any monopoly of force.
Sure, and who should? Who would?
You can't.
Right? No, but I guess what it all boils down to, because we started this conversation having to do with the grasping for power and the need to.
So, like, any leader, true leader, like the top guy, like Adolf Hitler, like Baghdadi, they would assume power and be power thirsty, regardless of if this is over religion, whether it's over ideology, like National Socialism, whether it's over divine right, like the House of David in Israel.
Well, some people are going to have that type of personality.
And that's who rises to the top of these organizations. They're absolutely sociopaths. Whatever mechanism can take them to power,
but like AT&T.
I mean, that's how Wall got started.
Now let's look at it instead of
If you want to get ahead in this organization.
Oh, hush. Let's look at it as like AT&T.
I didn't mean it like that.
Well, let's hope not.
I meant you have
not
to
in the Cosby way.
So if you, yeah. If you, right.
You need so to you take are the a head of this AT&T.
Are you a sociopath?
No. I'm talking about.
It's the same situation. It's an organization. It's a power play. It's a grasping for control.
But AT&T That's... won't be remembered in the course of history. Like you
oh,
know, like
so... I don't know. AT&T is it goes back to the I mean. Talking about the bells, essentially. Like
he'll be remembered, Alexander Bell,
right, as the inventor. But as far as the
but Randall Stephenson will be remembered
as an individual. But I don't know. All I'm saying is you are the head.
My point is that like so like Hitler was influenced by Nietzsche, the Übermensch, the great
sure,
man.
Sure.
So that's they may or may not have read that, but they see themselves historically, historic figures, men that are historic leaders. Can't be tied down to idealism because as you approach it there are incredible costs. So for instance like
so they shouldn't be but they are.
No, they're not.
You're saying they can't be tied down to idealism.
No, they
and many of them do get tied up in idealism and
they ride it to power and abandon it when it's convenient, like Richard Nixon.
Sure.
I am the president, so I'm saying it can't be against the law,
right? I'm a crook. Or
they
I'm not a
they
crook.
Will ride whatever wave, get out in front of it, lead it, carry it to power. You guys have to be beholden to the law. But I can't. I mean, George W. Bush, branded as the greatest free market capitalist ever, says, I had to bail out the free market in order to save it. They are not who their ideology is. They're power hungry. And that's going to be that is the way society is based.
And that's often what we fail to keep
in... I'm going to defend George W. Bush here. Because...
Okay, go ahead.
And that's never going to happen again in my entire... It's never happened before.
Bracing.
It's never going to happen again. So I can't state unequivocally that he is power hungry. He had an ideology that he believed in. He supported it. He followed through. He got to a point where he was elected by... Not the majority, as it were, in this particular case.
Not the first time.
Right, exactly. And he rose to power. Sure, there's a power hunger element there, and there was certainly a legacy because he was following in his father's footsteps and what have you. But I can't say that he abandoned his ideology because because he had to bail out the free market.
The free market thrives on failure. It's the misallocation of resources.
Sure.
He also believed in conservatism and decreasing the size of the state's role in your life, while at the same time passing right. Medicare Part D. He also is a true conservative when conservatism is based on let's not get ahead of ourselves.
So here we are vilifying George W. Bush when, let's be honest, a lot more of those particular decisions that we're referring to have kind of a Halliburton-y stench to them.
What they have is it allowed him to maintain power and keep the status quo in place.
I don't think it was his main... It was the. I don't think the priority was on him maintaining power so much as those who had contributed to his campaign and rose up within his tailcoats, rode his tailcoats to their positions as well. I think that if you are going to vilify George W. Bush for turning his back on his principles without acknowledging the fact that Dick Cheney led a tremendous amount of the decisions that we're referring to here.
Oh, yeah. Bush's presidency was defined by foreign policy, and the whole reason he picked Dick Cheney is there was no more qualified senator.
I'm sure it was his decision.
Or polled better at foreign policy. If it had been a different pick...
Sure.
Everything would have turned out different. But because he was completely inexperienced, he had to pick the guy that had the perception of the most experience.
Right.
So he did. And then it turned out history unfolded where that took the dominant role of his presidency.
Sure.
But like to think that the Bushes...
And it's a huge stain on his presidency.
Oh, totally.
From a lot of perspectives.
Huge stain.
Again, this will never, ever happen again. People write this down. I'm going to defend Dick Cheney. Not really defend Dick Cheney, but say something not horrible about Dick Cheney.
He has white skin.
I don't see that as...
I've got to be honest. I mean, after Charlie Hebdo, I was a little bit Cheney-like there. I was getting a little edgy. I was like getting my eyes twitchy. I was like, where's the button? I was ticked off, but then I calmed down and realized that I'm a human being and that others are human beings, and then I relaxed.
So, what I was getting at, anyway, let's move forward. Anyway, I was going to say something in praise of
Dick Cheney.
Dick Cheney, but you'll just have to take my word for it.
I mean, and all my point is that don't ever assume.
It had nothing to do with skin tone or anything of that nature. You just blew my mind.
Don't ever assume that ideology is the only driver.
Sure.
That's the vessel.
Okay, I think that is a very accurate statement, but to state that you can't tie them up with ideology, I think is a misstatement, simply because so many of them are. When we think of Hitler, the first things that come to mind are ideologies.
Mm-hmm.
Period. So for you to say that you can't
tie what ideology it, though?
Several ideologies. I mean, the conquering concept of him.
Expansionism?
Sure. Let's call it expansionism for certain. There are genocide, period. That's an ideology.
But do you think his Jew hatred stems from thinking they're an inferior race? Is that just because he has a general dislike and needed a villain?
I think that in the Nazi regime, Jews were scapegoats.
Absolutely.
I don't think it stems from Hitler's ideology specifically. It may be, I don't know enough about the historical.
He didn't have one. He was elected. Everything he did was legal.
Right. He was elected to power, and then he decided no one else would be.
And the
and
Germans?
Then he decided that Italy should be part of Germany, and Poland should be part of Germany, and he ran into lots of opposition, and hence the World War.
But National Socialism was a sweeping ideology of that entire part of the world.
Sure.
Why?
I couldn't tell you off the top of my head.
Because society needs to be organized by an elite, a governing class.
I don't think it's a matter of organization necessarily.
That's what socialism is.
Take We Are Libertarians, for instance. You need a charismatic leader.
Yes. And a villain.
An invisible hand to guide you through the process.
Ideologically, socialism is not necessarily the organization of the elite organizing the quote-unquote little people. Socialization is a matter of... We use the term in a derogatory manner when we say a reallocation of funds, essentially, that you are redistributing the wealth. And I think
that's a difference in ideology. That's welfare liberalism. Socialism is government ownership, and so the collective owns them. The state owns them. That's the thing people get wrong. So, like, welfare liberalism...
The state owns who or what?
All matters of production. So, in industry, banking... All that is state-owned. That way the collective owns them. That way it is populist. Everyone has a stake.
Okay.
But it is still managed, administered, because you can't have everybody voting whether or not the car company should buy black tires for the new Volkswagen.
Sure.
It's inefficient.
Right.
Eventually you have to have someone who is, whether they are voted in democratically or whether they are seen... And chosen as the most...
Okay, so help me here. So when we as Americans refer to, let's use the term socialized healthcare.
Mm-hmm.
How does that differ from socialism and or...
That's completely different.
Liberal...
We have welfare liberalism here. We don't have socialism.
I totally agree with you, but that is not the claim that many, many people will make in their arguments.
Yeah, it's just because I don't know.
Right. No, it's ignorance. It's completely ignorance. Yeah. But let's go ahead and clear up the difference.
So welfare liberalism is the idea, is founded by John Rawls, Harvard professor, in that we are all born, it's called the veil of ignorance, is his thought exercise. So since human existence is a social existence with other individuals, he asks everyone to imagine a state where you don't know anything other than you're alive. You don't know if you're male, female. You don't know anything about each other. In this thought experiment, everyone decides that since I don't know what my talents are, since I don't know how smart I am, since I don't know who my parents are, I don't know how far along I am in society, there will be a relative equal outcome, which means a redistributive. Okay. So the people that were investment bankers don't know it at the time. So once they enter society, they would have made an arrangement where, listen, just so I didn't end up the worst off amongst my social group, I'm willing to have a redistributive effect. That way everyone has a normalized outcome. Socialism is where everyone owns it, but an elite rule it, because not everyone's competent. You want the most competent person, especially if it's on the behalf of everybody, administering whatever industry, whatever organization it is, because you can't have mob rule. It
but
doesn't
how
work.
How is the most competent determined?
Either election or like in a republic.
See, that's a terrible idea.
That's
the
direct
most
democracy.
Competent via election. Good luck.
Well, then there aren't philosopher kings though, like Plato. We can't have the all-knowing individual say that one's the best.
I agree.
So your human existence comes down to the fundamental problem is
that's why we need 30-second TV commercials. That will help us make good decisions.
Generally speaking,
people will think Marco Rubio's the smartest candidate we've got.
I think
brought to you by the Committee for Spangleism.
Yeah. The best thing that you ever said about Marco Rubio is that among all the candidates for president, he's the most Hispanic.
He is.
That was a brilliant line.
He is.
Ted Cruz might beg to differ.
He's Canadian. He's a poser, eh?
All right, nationalist.
Poser.
But no, it's like, you know, so you talk about something like what's gone on with Charlie Hebdo. At the end of the day.
Oh my God, you guys, it's not Hebdo, it's Hebdo.
I'm American. You little Frenchie.
Hebdo. I'm not French, but it's H-E-B-D-O.
Yeah,
and we keep saying Hebdo, and it's just like...
In my head, B and the D are facing opposite each other.
I know, both of you. It's just... And I'm trying to let it go on occasion.
Yeah, Hebdo.
Al Spangle or whatever it was. Spangdotti was...
Al Spangdotti.
Will never leave my mind.
Yeah. You know, we actually only have several pictures of Baghdadi. We don't know it isn't Spangle. There's no way.
The two have never been seen in the same room.
That's true. I can never say that I've seen them in the same room at the same time.
My goodness. First of all, audience, let me apologize. The youngest of my two children had me up until 4 or 5 in the morning, and I am without sleep. So if I'm slurring my speech, please overlook.
We just figured you were drunk again.
I wish I was drunk again.
No, I think it's helpful, Gina, because you're asking questions that I think most people have. It's just that we don't get to.
Sometimes I want things clarified,
right,
for the sake of the peoples.
But we do have to start wrapping up.
We do,
of course. Let's wrap it up.
It's the safest thing to do.
It's the most intimate way.
No, it isn't. All right, kids. So, free college we ought to do next time. We'll get Creighton
free college.
In here.
Damn.
I'm sure you're all for it, so we'll get crazy.
Oh, and I wanted to praise the Koch brothers. So Gina had always, in her veil of ignorance, railed against the Koch brothers because the Koch brothers bought everything as far as politics were concerned, which is, you know, again, within the veil of ignorance, I'll totally acknowledge it. Found an article on Politico, look it up, on the
over-criminalization of drug war?
Mm-hmm. Over-criminalization.
Oh, yeah. You know, one of the Kochs was the Libertarian vice presidential nominee.
I didn't until Al Spangdotti filled me in when I was like, hey, guess what, Spangle? I donate the Koch brothers today. And he was like, what is up with that?
Wow.
And before, yeah, you considered them worse than Cheney.
No, but they were on par.
Yeah,
they were creeping up that Halliburton ladder. That was happening. But again, you know, I discovered this article in Politico, and I even made Spangle verify for me that it was, in fact, a Koch brother and not just someone who happened to have the last name Koch, at which point, this is how deep the veil of ignorance goes. The first 2 years that I was familiar with the Koch brothers, I was pretty sure it was Koch. So it was that bad.
Original German.
Weren't right. We all.
And so when I would read the jokes about, and I apologize in advance to all family Koch and or Koch, when I would read the jokes at their expense, it would say Cokehead, which made sense as Cockhead. So for me, I was confused for at least 2 years before I was corrected, at which point... So anyways.
Laughter ensued.
Right. So
now they're Cokeheads and not penis heads.
Why? Oh, dear Lord, why couldn't that have happened here on
clearly,
the podcast?
Clearly, the money within politics has never been my concern specifically. I've never looked into their investing habits, But this particular article, People's, you should look it up. I agree with it wholeheartedly. It really struck a chord with me. It's in the Politico. I think it was dated like the 7th or the 11th of January. Totally a good read.
It was in their magazine, wasn't it? Not their website?
I saw it on the Politico website as well.
It was on the website? Cool. Because, they just have the two. And
there's a link to I don't want to say sketchy website, but a website that is available too regarding the United States. Basically, anyway, look it up. And when you click on the part about the IndyCar driver who was arrested for snowmobiling into federal territory, it'll take you to a really, I don't know, what's the word I want to say there? Veiled website that doesn't tell you much.
National news.
Your information.
No, it takes you to sign up for the, American Conservative Union.
USA
no, the Heritage
versus
Foundation.
You, heritage.org.
Oh, that's right. Not a sketchy organization.
Well, no, here's why I say it's sketchy.
Oh, yes,
so you
it
click
is.
On, you click on
it's
a link.
It's as bad as Alec.
You click on a link that says, former IndyCar winner snowmobiles into protected territory, and you think that you're going to go to a news site that gives details on that snowmobile incident, and instead you get to USA versus you. P.S. Give us your name and your email and your zip code, and then we might give you information.
Oh, yeah, that's a landing page. I designed hundreds of those.
Yeah, well, you're a douche.
That was really smart.
No.
Because it got you to click and send you to a landing page.
And I just want to know it was Bobby Unser.
Yeah.
I just want to know.
Oh, you were interested in the information.
Right. Well,
they were interested in the donation.
Let me show you specifically. So here's the overcriminalization article in Politico magazine. And when you go about halfway down, you see a blue phrase
in text advertising.
Yeah, well, it's a blue link that says conviction of a former Indianapolis 500 champion. You click words, conviction of a former Indy 500 champion, you get that page.
Oh yeah, that's Taboola who does the in-text advertising. I love
them. Well, they do a terrible job because I would look for information regarding the incarceration of a former IndyCar driver because that's what I fucking clicked on.
Yeah, but you're not most conservatives. Most conservatives would see that and be like, oh my God, we got to give money or Obama's going to ruin the country.
The coke / cockheads and the billions and trillions of dollars.
The cockheads.
Oh God.
I love you guys. And I agree with you on the overcriminalization article.
I agree too.
I do too. I think people don't realize.
However, that particular link is an
scammy
insult. Yeah.
Online advertising is
completely
scammy.
Shady.
People don't realize how libertarian the Koch brothers are. And Ed Clark and one of the Koch brothers, was it Charles?
Charles.
In 1980. I mean, they got the highest vote percentage of any libertarian ticket ever, mostly because Charles Koch spent millions of his own money on that election. And the reason that they left the Libertarian Party started funding, you know,
Tea Party.
Well, they started funding libertarian organizations like, you know,
FreedomWorks.
Well, break some shit.
That was my phone.
Well done.
FreedomWorks and those types of organizations.
Right, because libertarian politics wasn't successful when they were directly involved in it and putting their own money in it. So
basically, founded the party financially.
Yeah,
it'd be like if Spanglebear took over the nasal spray. Corporations.
Listen, that is a dark secret that we don't discuss.
Oh, we discuss that liberally.
He's
listen,
a habitual user.
I know, he's a user.
I never could breathe until I started using Afrin.
On an hourly basis.
But let me tell you a deep fear that I have. I had some pain in my sinus the last 2 days. Headache, sinus headache.
Yikes.
It goes away when I take my nasal spray.
Yikes.
But I'm afraid that now I've got cancer.
Total dependence and cancer?
That's not a joke. This is the anxieties that run through my head because really on the outside, I look like a very cool person.
As someone who...
Very relaxed.
As someone who cares about you, you should have that looked at. And then you should consider cutting back on your nasal spray.
Here's how I like to deal with problems, Gina. This is how I dealt with my marriage and the problem that was. I like to ignore things until they go away.
You sound like...
Office Space. I'm just not going to go anymore.
Right.
Isn't there a beautiful quote by someone named Lenin having to, like, all was the solution to everything is
women
death?
Are the... Never mind.
Yeah, exactly. So again, I'm going to repeat. The solution to everything is death, and then Spangle chokes himself through the rest of it.
Careful, Gina.
Yeah, well.
Lonely man.
God damn it. You and your asphyxiation.
Oh, my God.
He's going to get a boner from being choked.
It's a little late.
God. You know, I really want to edit that out and just isolate it and use that every time, like, we're on the... Is he going to get a boner when he chokes?
Dead space. Put that in there.
I'll just go.
Hey, we got to take a break here. Is he going to get a boner when he's choked?
Have I mentioned that it's been a year?
Paid for by Martinez for Congress.
Right, yeah.
We've missed you.
Clearly. I think Spangle's finally getting a conjugal visit, and it's just getting to him.
Have you noticed how he's steadily creeped towards you closer and closer?
Hey. No, I hadn't.
No, it's my effeminate way of sitting.
Actually, I after being gone from the podcast for about a year and only seeing you briefly for short stints, I must tell the people in listener land that like half of Spangle is here giving this particular podcast.
He's spelt, thank you. Lean, yeah. Mean, lovemaking machine.
Yeah, yep. he's down some pounds.
Yep, I'm single and ready to mingle.
Ladies. And I'm unemployed and looking for a job. So reach out to either of us if you can remedy
together,
either of these
situations. We make one successful adult. High five.
High five.
Yeah. Greg's like all put together with his backwards Colts hat and his college sorority douchebag.
I own a credit union.
I'm in charge of people. With my money.
The little people.
And my
We don't even
car.
Have vaults.
Spend
at my
five
bank.
Minutes with me in Facebook chat and tell me that I have it put together.
Vaults don't exist. What is this?
You are the one who spends the most time out of all of us on I'm going to hell for this on Reddit.
It's fantastic entertainment because yeah, I'm so desensitized to everything else. It's the only place
that's
I'm shocked.
It's horrible. All
right, kids. So that was Gina's wrap-up item. Greg, what didn't we cover that you wanted to?
CISPA. That's coming down the pike. CISPA is...
Again?
Mm-hmm.
Seriously?
It just got proposed, and it's under a new name. I'll have to look up the name, but this just got put up yesterday. The text of the bill got leaked by a staffer. It is the It indemnifies tech companies from essentially sharing data with the federal government automatically.
Oh,
now, it can't be stuff that can be used to identify you immediately, but like usage patterns, that type of thing. But it is a backdoor to more surveillance. Justin Amash will throw a fit, thankfully, and then hopefully Bernie Sanders and several other of the civil libertarian
step
types.
Step up to the plate.
But it is highly unpopular. It's going to come back with a different name. Watch for it. Don't let it pass.
Yep.
Write whoever you have to write. Russia is having Assad come in to Moscow. In the United States and Iran are going to sit down, and we're going to try to act like we are not in support of Assad, yet have political discussions with them and allow him to stay in power while we crack down on ISIS.
Okay, so wait a second. Russia is hosting a get-together
with us, Syria's leader, and the one under threat from ISIS, and Iran, and Saudi Arabia probably will have to be there because that's the other actor that has power.
But do they
region.
Have to be, or does Putin get to decide?
He's inviting them all to have a political conversation. Okay. Getting these individuals in a room together is an act
right.
of God.
Oh, yeah.
Which is really shocking, because God was dead in the 80s in the Soviet Union.
Ouch. Comrade.
All right, mine is about Andre Carson.
Okay.
Everybody chill out.
What's going on with Andre Carson?
Andre Carson is the first Muslim appointed to the House Intelligence Committee. And everybody's freaking out because...
I wasn't even aware that Andre Carson was Muslim.
Oh, yeah.
Exactly. Gina lives in his district.
Right.
I live in his district. You live in his district.
Mm-hmm.
We live in the guy's district. Nobody here knows he's Muslim. He's Nation of Islam. He's as Muslim as Harry Reid is Christian.
The CIA director was Muslim during 9/11.
Really?
Wolfowitz.
Wolfowitz is Muslim?
They're practicing Muslim. Haven't you seen Zero Dark Thirty?
No.
He's praying in it five times a day.
Are you sure he's not Christian?
Well, yeah, Wolfowitz does not sound like a highly
he sounds
Muslim
like...
last name.
Google it.
I'm not saying
Zero Dark Thirty. I'm pretty sure I may be getting Wolfowitz wrong, but it was the leader.
Let's just say...
If I'm watching Zero Dark Thirty, it's to see Kurt Busch's girlfriend.
Let's just say Greg's information is about as real as a kosher pork chop.
Looking it up just real quick.
All right, so Andre...
Muslim CIA officer... He was a director level.
Yes.
Sorry. I'm sorry. This is dead space for a
second.
While
you look at I will talk. Andre Carson is actually not a bad guy. Okay, now he's a Democrat. He and I disagree on everything. There's like nothing Andre Carson and I have in common.
Oh, come on, HDR6.
Yeah, but that's state. All right, so
okay. I understand what you're saying, but what I'm saying is like there are no issues upon which you can.
There are things ground. That Andre Carson would say that he and I would agree on, but if he had to vote for it, he and I would not agree.
Okay,
so I agree with some of his words, but I don't agree with basically any of his actions.
Okay.
But I've met the guy. I covered him as a reporter when he was a city county councilor here in Indianapolis. I know him very well. He's not a threat to the nation. He's a nice guy. His wife is amazing. His daughter is adorable. He's, you know, he's not a Trojan horse, people. Calm down. You're being racist.
Go ahead, Greg. I can see the look on your face.
I'm just saying that intelligence isn't probably the right place to put Andre Carson.
Now,
I was thinking you were going to make the dirty Trojan horse joke.
No, he's not.
No.
There's nothing wrong with.
Andre Carson's grandmother was the center township trustee here forever. And so the township trustee in Indiana doles out assistance to the neighborhood. And so then she became an entrenched congresswoman here. And when she passed away, he ran for her seat and won.
Right.
Against Legacy. Highly qualified people, including one person we've recently talked about, Woodrow Myers, who is head of Corizon, which is the company that we believe, allegedly, to have contributed to the death of Rachel Wood in episode 92.
I missed this one.
Yes, you should go back and listen to Rachel's story. Very qualified guy to be a congressman. You know, David Ornlicker was a very qualified guy for Democrats, but Andre Carson won because of his grandmother.
And I'm sorry, Ornlicker. That wasn't going to go far for you.
So
at least change your last name to Smith. Ornlicker.
Hey, in the district that he was in, it worked.
Okay.
Gregory?
It's Roger is his name. He, and he was the CIA station chief.
Oh, okay. Last name Roger?
No. Well, is it his last name? But so he's the one, if you see it, it's when... in Zero Dark 30, he goes to request $400,000 to buy a Saudi prince, a Lamborghini or Ferrari, in order to get Bin Laden, someone close to Bin Laden's phone number. So he actually goes to Saudi Arabia to do it. But he was a practicing Muslim, and no one else had it. No, he was a Christian, I believe, but he married a Muslim woman and converted.
Hmm.
And so he was leading the Zero Dark 30. He was in charge of it and who would get in trouble if anything bad went wrong. And no one in his job had ever lasted more than 3 years. But he was a devout Muslim that prayed five times a day and had a... oh, this sounds so American. He had the rug that you lay... The carpet that you would lay...
The prayer rug.
The prayer rug. Okay.
That's what it's called.
I didn't know if it had
a
special...
I mean, that's the American term for
it. It does have a special name, but...
It does, and I don't know what it is. But so he would pray five times a day, and that was part... And that was the part of Zero Dark 30 that throws you off, as he walks in there and is waiting, and he's still... He's praying.
Yeah.
You know.
Headscarf, correct me if I'm wrong, is it hijab or hajib?
I think it's hijab.
Hijab.
Yeah, see, headscarf.
Right. I call it do-rag.
Okay,
oh,
all
totally
right.
Different
that's,
apparatus.
No that's racism,
you got your...
That's not racist.
All right, kids. Thank you for joining us. Gina,
yes,
it's been great having you here. I know
has.
It's been emotionally traumatizing for
Good
you.
Good night,
but
yes.
We've loved seeing you.
It's been wonderful to see you.
Yes, indeed, and I will acknowledge my love for the two of you quietly when we're off air. And matter of fact, I just want to go on record as saying this evening I have been nice to both of you, praised my fucking George W. Bush for the first time in ever.
Thought about
Dick Cheney. Tried to throw a bone to fucking Dick Cheney. Praised the Koch brothers. Who the fuck am I? Like, what's happened?
Sounds like you've been on the We Are Libertarians podcast too long.
Gross.
You're a regular Michelle Bachman.
I hate your face right now. We're going to find out whether or not Greg likes it when I choke him.
It's not bad, Greg. All right, kids. Thank you for joining us here on We Are Libertarians. We love you all. Gina, great to see you. Greg.
Thank you guys for
having
me.
It's been tolerable having you here. All right. And next episode, we promise.
To do better next time.